We're going to get into the sermon today. We're going to talk about children, but we must remember we all are children of God. And so it applies to all of us, but I've tried to direct it to everyone. And then following the sermon, we will have the blessing of little children. I figured that since we had an excellent sermon this morning covering the feast itself, and we're going to have another one tomorrow morning, that this would be just a little bit different and give us all something to think about. This Festival of Tabernacles pictures a growing family. And you and I are begotten children of that family. We are each being placed within the family as the Father chooses. Now, how often, brethren, do we stop and reflect, meditate on the tremendous events which are illustrated to us through these days, the Feast of Tabernacles, and through all of God's festivals? You know, we were each called as babes in Christ. When we came, there were some of us who thought we knew more than others. We soon discovered we didn't know anything. And so we all began at the same place. So once God calls and we receive His Spirit, then we are able to comprehend the truth of His Word. So I'd like for us to review a few scriptures, even in relation to this particular fact. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verses 25 and 26. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things, the true things of God, from the wise and prudent of the world, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." So it was the Father's idea that this should be done. So we began as babes in Christ. We'll turn to Psalm 8. Psalm 8 and verses 1 and 2. Where we read, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You who set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have ordained strength. Or you have established strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger, Satan, the devil. Christ made reference to this scripture in answering the chief priests and scribes in Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verses 14 through 16. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?" Yes, God is working with infants. And you and I are of those. But we are growing. We are growing. 1 Peter verses 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice and guilt, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You see, infants don't have, or babes don't have, malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking. These things are learned. And we've learned those things over the lifetime that we've lived. And we have to put that away, you see, and become again as babes and start over and do it right this time. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, He was gracious in calling us and open our minds to His truth. As God calls us, and as we begin to grow toward maturity, we are referred as babes. But God anticipates much growth in us as we draw nearer to Him and to Jesus. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, so as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. As with a child, over time we grow, we increase in the knowledge, but the knowledge we are learning is a different knowledge. It is the knowledge of God. But brethren, God doesn't just give us a big chunk and stick it down our throats. We receive it a little at a time. And we do walk in God's way in the beginning, step by step. You know, it's like climbing a mountain. If we tried, not being mountain climbers, I don't believe there are any mountain climbers here. I might have done that had I been built different. But God didn't call me to be a mountain climber, faithfully. But if we had tried to accomplish that feat all in one leap, we would fall miserably. But God leads us by the hand. See, He takes us through His Spirit, or with His Spirit, or by His Spirit. And He continually feeds us as we take each step. And when we are fully mature, based upon the schedule of His great plan, we will become literally sons of God. Now, it's between us and our Father individually as to how fast we will grow in His way. Our objective, all of our objectives, of course, is perfection. That's all. Perfection. Because you see, that's what God wants us to achieve. That's the objective He has set before us. Jesus Christ wants the same for us. It is the desire of the Father and of Jesus that we never falter in that objective to accomplish and complete the task. Now, we limit our growth at times when we slip back and we fall back into society and its ways, and it happens. But God wants us in His kingdom, brethren, and He does not give up on us. And so we must never give up. We must never reject the objective that's set before us. And we must never turn back totally to this world and its ways. Our Father desires to see us grow and overcome because He wants us to become as He is. As He is. We desire the same for our children, don't we? Many times we desire much more for them, that they will be better than we are. But we want them to grow, and we want them to succeed in life, and we want to see them eventually in God's kingdom with us. And if we fulfill our responsibilities toward that end, in our capacity as parents, we can be a tremendous aid in their being able to succeed in both cases. Of course, they have their individual responsibilities in this as they grow. In addressing the area of childhood, Paul made an interesting statement in the Corinthians. Let's examine that verse, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Second. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, Paul said, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Yes, we all know what it was to be a child. We understood how that worked. And how it does work. But see, that time does not last forever. And after a short period, it's over. It passes. And we must go forward. You know, God makes tremendous promises to our children. We find a good example here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 14. Well, let's go back and read 13 to get the whole concept of what's being said here. It says, a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. They are holy. As we walk in God's way, and we work toward being holy, which God tells us to do, our children, God says, are holy. Our children are holy. They are sanctified by our holy conduct. But if we're not living our lives in a holy manner, we put our families in jeopardy, don't we? Without a sound family structure, the earth becomes a place not fit to live. And it is for this reason, no doubt, that so many problems exist on the earth today. And why the family structure continues to be compromised. And so a strong family is the basis for a solid foundation in life. A strong local community and a strong nation. And we know that this world is in trouble today because the number of such solid families continues to decline. And this whole process in developing a strong family and developing strong family values begins in the home. And it begins with you and with me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." The commandment with promise. And there's a lot of promise in that command. But the basis for the beginning of a strong family begins with the father and the mother in the Lord. In the Lord. Because now we have people capable of teaching right principles. And with a sound spiritual foundation, proper instruction can begin with the children at a very early age. And it is amazing how fast they pick things up. It's most important. And the reason Paul addresses that in verse 4 of this chapter, he says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Proper training and instruction in the early years, based upon the principles expounded by Jesus Christ, establishes the basic structure from which the family can grow together in the way of God. And this also helps develop a basis for proper dealing with any situation or relationship which any family member faces as they continue in this journey that we all travel in this physical life. So let's go now to the book of Proverbs, and we read here some basic instructions which help to establish such a foundation. In Proverbs 22, there are many of these. We won't have time to go through them all of them, and we'll try. But in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This verse is basic if we are to help our children in their learning the ways of God. If we train them to think and decide according to the spirit and attitude of God's law, love toward others, consideration for the good and for the welfare of others, and if we teach them that Satan's way of selfishness and jealousy and envy and greed is wrong and is contrary to God's way of life, they will begin to understand the way of God and the way He desires to see them live their lives. But they have to be trained, and it's our responsibility to do that. Proverbs 3 and beginning in verse 1. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." You see, they're continually, we find these promises from God. "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It affects our health when we live right, because then we think right. And remember that so much of health is based upon the mind. And as we deal properly with people and with God, then God blesses us, and our health is even better. Proverbs 3, verses, maybe that's where I am already. I think it is. So we see these instructions here in the and the wisdom that is from them. And we live in a world today, brethren, when fewer and fewer people believe even that there is a God. They don't believe there's a God. And these instructions, they don't believe need to be taught. But they do need to be taught. They need to be taught at a very early age. Why do you think that all of so many of the churches today say those laws were hung on the cross? Well, we're in real trouble if they were. But we know that's not true, and we know that they will be kept in the kingdom. So we have to teach them to our children early in life and helping them to develop a right perspective relative to God. Psalm 14. Psalm 14 in verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Brethren, you would be shocked to know how many people there are today in the world who say just this. There's no God. It all came about different. I learned it in college. Those guys aren't wrong. They're smarter than you are. Well, yeah. When it comes to the wisdom of the world, they are. But the wisdom of the world, I don't want. I want the wisdom from above. So what does it tell us? It tells us that the world is full of fools. And we must not become one of them. Because you would also be surprised how many people walked out of the church and today will say to you, there is no God. Well, is there a God? See, this is a question that young people will ask. And it has to be proven to them. You have to help them see it, because eventually they have to prove it to themselves, because unless they prove it to themselves, eventually they won't believe it either. You had to prove it to yourself. I had to prove it to myself. And God requires that. He says, prove all things and hold fast what is good. He taught us this from His Word. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 in verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Yes, God will pardon. And Jesus Christ is interested in what we do. God illustrates here that if we seek him, we will find him. But if a person is true in this search, there's a chance he'll come to the point in his mind where he'll say, boy, this is a different God than I knew. It's not what I expected. Because God will reveal that if he's honest in his seeking. God says, seek me and you will find me. Notice verse 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth bud, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Seek it. God says he'll give it to you. And you will understand, because he will give you the mind to understand through his Spirit. See, these facts can be proven by examination and by testing God. He says, prove me now herewith. We do it with tithes and offerings. You know, when I first understood the truth about tithes and offerings, it didn't make a lot of sense to me that if I were to give that much to the church, I'd never seen anybody give that much to the church, that God could bless me even greater than my giving. But to my amazement, he made me look foolish. And I was blessed tremendously because of it. And I'm blessed today. Now, today I don't have that much money. I found out something else about that. It's not that important. I had money, but money doesn't give happiness, see? God's way of life gives happiness. And that's why we stay, and that's why we do these things that we do. And we don't go off willy-nilly the way some of these others have done. Because we understand that God's way is true. And it would be relatively difficult for someone to convince me otherwise. In fact, I don't think it's possible. So if we examine God's word, he says that he will reveal his truth to us. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 12. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. You and I have been called to be kings and priests. If we receive such a position, we have to be living righteously if we are going to establish that throne. Think of the significance here, brethren. We've been called for this purpose. Kings who rule justly over their subjects do not think to do wickedness. A king must learn to rule righteously. You and I have a kingdom right now in our families. How are we ruling them? How are we ruling our family? What kind of an example are we to them? Do we rule our households righteously? Be certain that your children, and we have an awful lot of young children coming up in the church, and it's a tremendous blessing. We've been looking for growth in the church, and we turned it over to the Harris family and those who are in contact with them. And they've done a good job. Now, the rest of us have just got to learn from that example, except I don't do that anymore. Once you get to age 70, you say, well, don't think I will. If I could, I don't think I will. But be certain, brethren, that your children will have a tendency to mimic what they observe of you as you guide and direct them in the home and throughout life. And they will generally have a tendency also to pick up your worst points. So that if you're doing annoying things, be careful, because it'll come back. I know. Raised three. I'm thankful. And today, Joan and I together have five, and we have 10 grandchildren. And I'm amazed every time I see them. Of course, I don't get to see them much because they're spread all over the country. In Florida and Georgia and Oklahoma and Northern California and Idaho and Texas. So we don't see them a lot anymore, but we see them as often as we can. And they are a blessing. And sometimes I envy Mr. Harris, because he's convinced all of his children to come to those mountains. All my children, after I decided to leave the job that I had and come back to college, all of my children were in California, and I came out here and they all left. But they still love me. They tell me they do. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. These little books get so tied in here. Sometimes I think I'm in a book and I'm in another book. Colossians 2, verse 16. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, for which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ. See, we allow God to judge us in these things, and the church has the authority to judge us in these things. And when it says a shadow or the substance, it's speaking of the body, as you can see in the margin. But God's feast days are a picture of things to come. And we teach this to our children as they participate under our supervision in the observance of these days. And if you cease observing these days, more than likely your children will follow you. And they will walk away from God, as we've seen happen so much in recent years, and out of the church. And when they do that, they leave God's protection. And that's sad. Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 3. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you go, which you are crossing over to possess. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and with honey. So we are to walk in these. And then when we walk in these, we are setting an example for our children to observe. Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 through 15. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you are gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. And so we are to observe the feast, and we are to rejoice. Now this is an excellent example for our children, if we are wholehearted in following through with this. And God has called us out of this world and its ways. And when we do that, our children notice. They notice that we don't keep certain holidays. But I'll tell you, if you stopped keeping God's days, the next thing that would happen is that you would begin keeping those days. And your children would go right into it. And they would love it. Because It's fun, but it's not what God tells us to do, and we don't do it. John 15, John 15, verses 17 through 19. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love you, love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You and I are not of the world, brethren. If we were of the world would love us. It doesn't love us. Not when they begin to hear what we teach and what we do, because of what this book says, because they will never agree with it. They can't see it. I mean, the world hates us because of what we believe and what we teach. But notice Christ's words of encouragement here in John 15, verses 20 through 21. He says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. But in all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. See, they did it to Christ, and they will do it to you. Well, we're in pretty good company there. And that's the encouragement. But you have a tremendous support system, brethren, because you were chosen by God to represent him and his way in this effort. And we have been called as a part of that to teach this to our children by the Almighty God. He says, teach it to them. John 17, beginning in verse 11. Christ says, I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one, of one mind, of one thought, as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Christ prayed that to the Father. Keep them from Satan, because he's going to attack. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Yes. What separates us from the world? What do we see? God's truth separates us. And as we live by His truth, as His truth lives in our lives, we teach God's truth. We teach it to our children through our example. We teach it to people we come in contact with through our example. You know, people like to see the fruit that comes. They just don't want to hear the words. Now, they wouldn't want to see you not keeping Christmas. That's sort of undemocratic. You're not supporting this nation. Well, I think the people of God do pretty good in that when we come to the feast. And we have the blessings because God provides the blessings, a way for us to keep the feast. But we're to teach these truths to our children and help them to understand God's desire for them. Let's go back to Romans 8. Or over to Romans 8. Romans 8 and begin in verse 38. Paul writing, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love, brethren. But what is this referring to? Things to come. Don't let things to come. What's it talking about, things to come? Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, you and me, brethren, those days will be shortened. The great tribulation, brethren, is not that far away anymore. We've been thinking it was coming for a long time. Well, I promise you, it's not far away now. We can look and see what's going on in the world and know. And it's going to affect the entire world. And it's going to be all-encompassing. But if we are living by God's truth, then He has made certain promises to us relative to safety during this time of great turmoil. And we just must not allow fear to interfere with our relationship with God. But we have to remain faithful no matter what is happening and know that God is going to carry through with what He promises. If we're living in His way, we cannot be separated from His love. That's quite a promise. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Yes, there's an evil generation coming also. Verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. That's pretty scary. God pronounces a curse against this evil generation. Those who are living according to this evil way. It's the result, brethren, of a lack of obedience to father and mother. A lack of training up in the way of God. And it's very graphic. Now, we would never want to see our children have to go through such horror. Especially if we've never taught them the basic principles of honor, which God expects to see toward a father and a mother by the children in a family. 2 Timothy Second Timothy 3 verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such, turn away. There's a generation, we're told, that will come upon the earth that will be so arrogant in its approach toward God that God says He's going to wipe them out. They'll just be wiped off the face of the earth. We would never want to live to see our children have such disrespect, nor any child to have such disrespect toward their God. But it's in the world today. And you can see it. Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24. Verses 1 through 6. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the creditor, so with the debtor. The land shall be entirely emptied and utterly plundered, and the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. This time's coming, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to be teaching our children in such a way that they understand, not to cause them fear about what's going to happen, but cause them fear to disobey their God. We learn to fear God. That's why we're here at this festival. There's always hope with God. He's going to build a new world with a few people who will be left on the earth. Let's look at Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 23. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses and the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. God will call these people at the appropriate time, each man in his own order. And at that time, they will be given the truth and an earnest of God's Spirit, and they will have to overcome, brethren, just as you and I are learning and in the process of overcoming today. Because our children are holy in the eyes of God, they have a choice. They have a choice to learn the lessons today rather than waiting and having to go through this. But it is a choice for them. We can be a tremendous help to them if we are diligent in our responsibility. Again, Proverbs 22. I believe we read this earlier. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you need a title for this sermon, by the way, is Train Up a Child. We must each teach our children to know God and to know that God is always there for them as long as they are working toward being obedient to Him. They will be blessed if they are faithful. In the meantime, under your leadership, if you are living a life that's pleasing to God, God says they are holy to Him. And therefore, He has a specific interest in them. So, let's look at a few scriptures as we think in terms of following the instructions that we've received. Look at Luke Luke 21 and verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And let's consider together two groups that we have discussed here today. Turn to Ephesians. As you can see, this sermon is winding down. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And in Proverbs 30, in contrast, Proverbs 30, in verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. You have a tremendous responsibility, those of you who still have children at home that you're working with and trying to teach God's way. Don't ever let up in that responsibility. Remember that we're all children of God, and that God is working with us all. And we all have to remain faithful. Let's turn to one final scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in your ways, the ways of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Yes, you can do whatever you want to do, but you have to be accountable for what you do. And hopefully you are learning God's way and choose to walk in that way. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart, and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity.